can do that. Amen. Yes, sir. We've got a great God this afternoon. And I want to honor Him with my life and everything that I say and do. I want to try to honor God and try to practice old-time religion the best I can till Jesus comes after us. Amen. You know, I've been carrying on some of these men about flying over to the Lewis Island, and I've got some of them fired up to go. Miss Hall said she'd be willing to get on an airplane, and we might make this a big trip. Amen. Some of you others may pick up enough courage to get on an airplane and fly. And we'll, a bunch of us go over there and see what we can stir up. Praise God, we get out there on the Isle of Lewis or ski, get down in Metropolitan Tabernacle and let me get a robe on. Amen. And preach a while on Sunday. And can you see me in a robe of preaching at the Metropolitan Tabernacle in England? Lord have mercy. They'd probably make a man wear a robe if he preached in there, but if they'd let me preach, I'd be willing to wear a bathing suit, I believe. Not really, but praise God, I like to preach there one. I just like to preach there one time. I believe the story said Charles Spurgeon went to, where was it, France or Germany? Where did he, when he preached in Luther's pulpit or somewhere like that, put on a robe and preached in it or something? Geneva, that's right, that's where it was. And put on a robe and preached, amen? And I'm not beyond wearing a robe over there. If they'd let me in the pulpit one time, I like to preach to a big crowd of people like that, if they're still going there. And if there ain't much of a crowd there, when we got there, we'd make a crowd, amen? That's right. We'd have a time. I'll assure you of that. Psalm number 61 in your Bibles this afternoon. And I'll do my best. A little slow. Of course, I expected that. That's no big secret. I kind of expected it to be this way when we went back there and eat and come back. But I didn't figure it would be much different in the evening hour either. And so we'll just preach and do our best this afternoon. If you can muscle up amen every now and then, that'll be all right. Thank you, Brother Jerome. Amen. And Psalm number 61, let's stand together for the reading this afternoon. And if I say tonight instead of this afternoon, you'll understand we're here preaching, okay? Whether it's this afternoon, this morning, or tonight, you'll understand we're here. Psalm number 61. And the Bible said, "You hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah." Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word this afternoon. Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for the blessed privilege of preaching the Word of God another time today. I thank You, Lord, for Your people that have stayed by this evening for the preaching of Thy Word. May our hearts today be encouraged. May our load that we carry be lightened. May our souls be blessed, our hearts stirred. And may we worship You today in spirit and in truth. I want to give praise to the Lamb of God from whom all blessings flow. I do pray You have Your divine will and way today in every heart. Help us, I pray, to honor You in everything that is said and done. May some old sinner today get under the blood of the Lord Jesus. And may Your people today find great grace and help in a time of need. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You, Lord, for everything that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Look at verse number 2. We'll be the verse we'll be drawing our thought from this afternoon, where Brother David said there, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." And then he makes a tremendous statement. "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I preached out of this verse some time ago on a place, on a pain, on a person, and a plateau. And I want to try to look at verse number 2 again this afternoon. and bring just a few little simple thoughts that God's laid on my heart on the overwhelming of the heart. David said, when I'm overwhelmed, then lead me to that rock that is higher than I. When my heart is so grieved that I'm overwhelmed, then lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Now, as we've studied through the book of Psalms, we have tried to look at the title in the Psalms and glean something from it that adds light and encouragement, or adds light to the message and encouragement to our hearts. If you'll notice here, he says it is to the chief musician upon Neginah. Now, the Psalms title word, Neginah, has appeared to us, or has appeared at least on four different occasions in the Psalms. In Psalms 4, in Psalm 6, in Psalm 54, and in Psalm number 55. But in these earlier hymns, or earlier Psalms, the word is used in a plural form. It is used in the word Neginoth and not in Neginah, as we find it here in Psalm number 61. And somebody said, preacher, does that make a real difference to the psalm? It surely does. Because the word Neginoth is in the plural form. It means that the psalm was to be played with various instruments of music, or stringed instruments of music, and was to be sang by a number of individuals, possibly the great choir that sang there in the temple in David's day. But the word Neginah is a singular form of that word. And it brings the psalm down on a more of a personal basis. Now get a hold of this. There are some of the writers that believe that David used the word Neginah simply because he sang the hymn himself and he played it upon his favorite stringed instrument, that instrument that he liked so well. I'll tell you, I'm not much on singing, but for myself now, but there are some songs that I enjoy listening to. There's others I enjoy trying to sing myself. But David found such delight in this psalm that he wrote it in a personal way. It meant something. It was a treasure to the heart of David. It was a singular psalm. David not only sang that psalm in himself, but he also chose the instrument that blessed him more than all the other instruments and used it to play while he sang on this psalm. The psalm is very personal, and it is well adapted to the private devotion of a single individual. I don't know about you, but in my mind's eye, I can just see old brother David as he picked up possibly the harp. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel, and he learned to play skillfully with his fingers upon the harp. In fact, he played for Saul when his spirit became sarcastic within him. David would play on that harp and would soothe the spirit of King Saul. And I can just see old David as he picks up this instrument, whatever it may have been, and kind of more or less just steals himself away to some sacred place and some secret private place where nobody else was. And there he sits down and begins to play on that instrument that blessed him so much, and then added the words to the song and began to sing Psalm number 61. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? It was a personal thing in the life of David, and he used this hymn in his own private devotions unto God. May I say to you, church, on the authority of those words, that it might help you if you had learned to have private devotions to the Lord. It would bless you tremendously to find a private place in a closet of prayer where you can steal away from the whole humdrum of life and get away from other people and find a quiet place by a babbling brook and there sit down and make music in your heart unto the Lord. Somebody said, well, I can't sing very good and carry a good enough tune. I got news for you, friend. You don't have to carry a good tune when you're worshiping God in the privacy of your own heart. Amen to God. God just wants us to get alone and spend time with Him in private meditations that our heart might find grace and comfort from Him. May I remind you that David's heart was overwhelmed. No wonder when he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, then lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David had been through a traumatic experience and his heart was broken and grieved, and it was in that experience that he found solace in the Lord, been able to sit down in that quiet place and sing this hymn and play that harp and worship God in the privacy of his own life. Now that's right. Now the background of the psalm agrees to its personality. It was a personal psalm, and the background agrees to its personality because the psalm deals with the rebellion of Absalom and David's departure from his kingly palace. His heart has become greatly grieved, and sorrows of death have flooded his soul. No wonder as he went up across that hillside in that evening hour, when the stars were shining and the moon shining bright, and David went up barefooted, my friend, and his head covered, but he went up with a broken heart and a grieving spirit and sorrows in his soul. It's no wonder that he could look back to the city that he loved and cried, when my heart within me is overwhelmed, then Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I want everybody to listen to me right now, friend. You may have never had an experience in your own life yet to date where you felt like that your heart was crushed and that you were overcome and that you had not a friend in the world, but I'm going to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, just hang around a little while in the service of God, because He will, my friend, take every one of us through that valley of despondency and despair. But I'm glad, thank God, that it's in the valley, like Sister Hall said, that God is able to restore the souls of His children. And you'll get there. You will get there. When my heart is overwhelmed, then lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The greatest tragedy and the deepest sorrow that David experienced was because he had been driven from the palace and from the place of divine worship. He had been driven, my friend, from the tabernacle, from the temple, the place of worship. That is, and looking back, David's heart longed for that place of worship. He longed to be back in his own palace. He longed to be back with his own people. I'm telling you, his heart was overwhelmed. When my heart is overwhelmed, then the Bible said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I see, first of all, a very painful experience. My friend, do you know that pain can be experienced in the soul of man? We think of pain today only as something that can be experienced physically speaking. I'm talking about like mashing a finger, amen, or cutting ourselves, or breaking a bone, or stumping a toe, and that is a painful thing in the body. But the Bible said when God saw the travail of the soul of the Son of God, then He was satisfied. May I say to you on the authority of the Bible that the greatest pain that you'll ever encounter in your life is soul pain. It is a pain, my friend, that no earthly doctor, Trover Clinic can't help it, the Regional Medical Center can't help it, the dentist can't help it, mom and daddy can't help it. There's only one cure for a painful soul, and that's for the healing balm of the Son of God, amen to God, to be poured into your heart when it's overwhelmed. He is able, and He only, to relieve the pain of the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. I see here a painful experience. He said, my heart is overwhelmed. I mean, it just overwhelmed. Now, that word overwhelmed means to be totally covered. David's heart was covered with grief. Amen to God. He was completely submerged in grief, not only from the head, but in the heart. He was completely submerged. His entire being was enveloped with trouble. If I may remind you, his own son had sat in the gate of the city and turned the hearts of the people against David. That was enough to pain him. His own friends, my friend, had betrayed him and sold out to Absalom and turned their back on the man that had helped them and blessed them and rewarded them for their faithfulness to him. And he was driven from the very palace that he lived in and the place of worship where he was. No wonder, my friend, as he went up over the mountain that night, he could look back to Jerusalem and say, when my heart is overwhelmed, then lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I'm glad that David had had an experience in his heart that led him to believe, my friend, that there was someone in life that was higher than he. And if he could only scale that rock and reach its top, that there he'd find ultimate joy and blessing and restoration to his soul that had been broken. That's right, a very painful experience. Anxiety and grief had wrapped his soul in its garment. There was not one place left in his soul that had not been wrapped in the garment of grief. David departed Jerusalem that night, grieved in his own life, in his own heart, being overwhelmed. Now I want to say to you again this afternoon, if your heart has never been overwhelmed to this capacity, my friend, stick around in the service of God for a little while, for it will get that way. I'll never forget the day, and I've used this so many times, that when we came back from Brother Heights three or four years ago and had spent 2 weeks there, and I'd preached out of James 1 for the last week of that on things that trials produce in your life. Mrs. Hall and I pulled up into that parking lot and had little old Jordan Ashley with us, and there sat Tammy and Steve there with the kids. Set Tammy and Steve ready to drive off all the way down yonder to Brownsville, Texas. Tammy weighed 87 pounds. Her face was as pale as a ghost, as white as what that paper was. And I couldn't understand what on earth was going on. And I'm telling you, they said we're going to Brownsville to a cancer specialist. And I thought, my God, I didn't realize that the girl was that sick. But I tell you, I spent a long, hard night, my friend, walking the floor and looking at that little wall of pictures in 35 Timmons Lane in Miss Hall's kitchen. And every time I'd pass by that picture of Tammy when she got married or when she was a little girl or just even a little baby, I tell you, I felt pain and grief in my heart that I'd never experienced before in my life. And the old devil jumped up on my back and said, all right, big boy, you preach to them that trials will produce Christian virtue in your life. Now, don't sink down in despondency and despair. You ought to rise to the occasion and not only be a man, but be a man of God. Not only be a man of God, but be a Christian. But I'm telling you that night, friend, I found myself and my heart was overwhelmed and I realized there was a rock that was higher than I that I had to get to, my friend. If I hadn't have got to it, I'd have surely failed and fell and miscaught. Amen. And that's right. And probably wound up my ministry in despondency and despair with an overwhelmed heart. That's right. But I'll tell you, about 5 o'clock in the morning, the sunlight broke through and the Holy Ghost moved my heart, friend. And I walked to the pulpit Sunday morning and preached on things that afflictions will produce in your life. That's right under God. And I'm telling you, God will afflict us in that way that He might produce graces and virtues in our life that'll bring glory and honor to Him. I got to thinking in this psalm some situations that will overwhelm our hearts. Now I'm going to tell you, you just hang around a little while and serve God a little while, because it'll surely come your way. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. None of us know what tomorrow may hold for us. That's right. You never know when you're going to have to follow a casket down the hallway of a church, and I hope that this church has got enough spirituality that if something does happen to one of your loved ones, you won't drag them off to a funeral home somewhere to preach our funeral. No, sir, bring them to the house of God and stretch it out in front of this pulpit and let somebody get up and rip something out and sing and preach and worship God in the course of it. Amen. You never know what tomorrow may bring. You never know. We had no idea that in November of 1978, about 1:30 in the afternoon, my brother would knock on my door and report to us that Miss Hall's mother had been killed in an automobile accident. I never dreamed when we come in from my daddy's auction barn on a Saturday night, I believe September the 26th, 1979, that a telephone would ring and her brother would tell me on the phone that her daddy had just died in the confines of his own home. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there are occasions and there are situations that will develop in each of our lives, my friend, that may very well overwhelm our heart. And when your heart is so overwhelmed and grieved that there's no human help available, I'm thankful today I can report to you that there is a rock that is higher than I. And if you get to that rock, you can find solace for your soul. One of the commentators said that rock not only extends into the heavens, but thank God it goes to the bottom of the sea as well. Now I'm glad it's down there. Somebody said, why? Of course, when you're on the bottom, honey, you need to rock on the bottom too. Amen to God. That's where you're going to need the rocks when you're on the bottom. Leap into the rock that is higher than I. I'm glad that He breaks ground surface, my friend, when we're on the rock bottom. I'm thankful today that the rock will break ground surface and extend into the heavens like Jacob's ladder. Amen to God. And we can get to that rock that is higher than I. I read a story the other day trying to prepare to preach this. And it said that there was a preacher. Old Charles Spurgeon said there's a preacher in England, an old-timey preacher. And said he spent all of his ministry and his spare time out on the ocean where was a great reef of rocks. And said it was a dangerous place for mariners to travel. And said that many mariners had shipwrecked into that area. And some would make it to the base of the rock. And they'd have no way to escape the waves. The waves would continue beating them. They couldn't climb the rock. Because it was just a straight up and down. There was no way, no jagged edges or nothing to climb that rock. And said many mariners had lost their lives because they didn't have the ability to climb the rock. I won't say to you this afternoon that there's many of God's people that will wind up shipwrecked, my friend, because they don't have the ability in the spiritual hump about them to climb the rock that is higher than they are, that they might relieve themselves of the soul pressure and the grief that they experience in times of that nature. Spurgeon said that old preacher spent his entire ministry when his spare time on that rock. And said he started at the top and worked his way down with a hammer and a chisel. And said he cut hand hole and feet, places for the feet to stand in that rock from the top of it to the bottom. That any old mariner that shipwrecked along that shore, if he could just make it to that rock, he had found safety and refuge from the storm. May I say to you, my friend, that there is a rock! Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. And there is a rock, my friend, that is higher than I and higher than you. And when our hearts are overwhelmed, He's the only source of help and comfort that we can find. And if we'll make our way to that rock, I'm glad, thank God, we can take a step up by grace. We can take another step up by His love. Another step by His mercy. Another step by His Word. And another step by the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that when we're overwhelmed, we can reach the rock that is higher than what we are. Now, I thought of some situations. I thought about the feeling of the absence of God. There's no doubt David felt like God had deserted him. I can tell that from the very first part of verse number 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Huh? That expression, my friend, denotes some place of far removal from the presence of God. David looked at the presence of God as being back yonder in that tabernacle. where the Ark of the Covenant was, where they worshiped. He looked at, but he was being driven from that place. And being driven from that place, he could cry from the end of the earth. If I may paraphrase that for you, David said, although I may be driven some great distance from the presence of God, yet if I must go to the very end of all the earth, yet from there I will cry unto my God and reach the rock that may lift me up when my heart is overwhelmed within me. Now, by the way, the country that David was banished to was on the east side of Jordan. That land was not included in the land of promise and the land of Canaan. David, being banished from there to that place, felt as though he was had just lost the entire absence of Almighty God. Somebody said, "Preacher, I've never felt that way." Oh, come on now. Let's loosen up a little bit this afternoon and try to wake up. Sure, you felt that way. There's times you didn't know which end was up, which way to turn. You couldn't find God in your life and wondered what on earth God was doing. There's been times you've been involved in situations in your life that you couldn't figure out what God was doing or where God was at or what was going on in your life. Somebody said, "Why are you preaching this?" I want to enlighten you a little bit, friend. When you feel like God is gone from you and God is absent and there's no presence of the Lord, there is a rock, my friend, that you can get to. When that heart of yours is overwhelmed, there's a rock you can get to that will strengthen you in that hour. Now, I want to say he had been driven far from the city he loved, far from his home, far from his throne, far from the tabernacle of God. But yet he said, "From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, then lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Amen. Tammy and Steve called. Steve called us on, tried to call on Friday night. Called again yesterday and talked for an hour. I told Brenda, I said, "That boy's lonesome." When Steve Pleasant will call and talk for an hour on the telephone and spend that kind of money, probably a nickel an hour, a minute probably cost him $3. He ain't going to spend $3 that easy, you know, unless he just needs something awful bad. I thought, well, he really needs to talk to somebody really bad. He's lonesome. He feels like he's all alone. Somebody said, "I ain't never been there." Maybe you haven't. But I tell you, hang around a little while. You may get there someday, friend. I tell you, you've never been out in a place trying to serve God, and you don't know but a handful of people there, and the people that you've been brought up with and lived with and loved and worshiped God with, prayed with, and been to the house of God. You've been to the house of God with a certain little crowd. I'm going to tell you what you think. It ain't heartbreaking to depart from that little crowd and be isolated somewhere all alone. Old Steve no doubt felt like that God was gone and there was nobody to lean on. But I'm telling you, my friend, when our heart is overwhelmed within us, there is a rock that is higher than you and I. I want to say second thing that can make you feel as though that can overwhelm your heart, cover your heart, and grieve your heart is the rebellion of one of your children. May I remind you that Brother David here had experienced the rebellion of Absalom. Amen. And he had turned on his own daddy. Amen. And stolen the hearts of his people. And friend, I'm going to tell you, if you've never had one of your children to rebel on your authority and take advantage of all that you've ever done in life for them, you have worked for them. You've put the food on the table for them. You've bought their clothes all their life. You've fed them. You put them through school, bought their books and all that, and put them through school. And then for some reason or another, they rebel against your authority and desire to depart from you. And more, Absalom literally more than wanted to depart from his daddy. He wanted to run his daddy off and claim the blessings that God had bestowed upon David. I'm going to tell you, friend, that'd be hard to take. Hard to take. A few years back, son, when I drove all the way to Greenville, South Carolina, and Tammy's in school down there, I'm going to tell you, I spent a long, long night coming home by myself across I-40 from Greenville, South Carolina, up to Asheville, and then I-40 from Asheville all the way into to Nashville, Tennessee. You're talking about a long, lonely night and a heart of grief. I tried my best to get her to come home with me. And she said, "No, Daddy, I want to stay maybe two more days or one more day. And I promise you I'll be home tomorrow night." I'm going to tell you, friend, I literally watered the steering wheel of that automobile I was driving on the way back from Greenville, South Carolina. You talking about somebody with a broken heart after you'd loved a child and cared for a child and fed a child. Then you send them off to school, and the gratitude that you receive back is, "Daddy, I don't want you no more. I want to spend my time the way I want it. It makes no difference to me what you've done for me. I've got my own life to live, and so let me alone, and I'm going to live it the way I want to." Friend, I'm going to tell you something. You think it won't shock your booties off? Amen to God. It may very well happen to somebody sitting in this church tonight, this afternoon. You may be raising a child that is soon to rebel against all authority that you have over them and choose to go their own way. And what if their own way is the way of the world? What if their own way is a way of sin? What if it's a way of ungodliness? It's not so bad to lose a child to the ministry. It's not so bad to lose a child, my friend, to the work of God. But I'm telling you, when you lose a child to the devil and his emissaries, my friend, and that child has rebelled on you and would love the wages of sin more than they love the gift of God, and you brought that child into this world, maybe a mama that went down into the jaws of death to bring that child into this world, and you've cared for them and loved them, you've fed them, changed their diaper, cooked their food, made their bed, washed their clothes. I'm going to tell you what, friend, it will break your heart, but when your heart is overwhelmed, God can lead you to a rock that is higher than what you are. That's right. Amen. It'll hurt you. It'll kill you. You better mark her down. I'm going to tell you something else. Another situation that'll overwhelm people's hearts. That's the ingratitude and treachery of those that you esteemed as your friends. That's Ahithophel, David's counselor, yoked up with Absalom and turned his back on David. He was David's old familiar friend that had eaten at his own table and fellowshiped with him. Oh, now, brother and sister in Christ, if you've never had someone you esteem as your friend and your bosom buddy, someone that you spent time with, maybe feast with or hunted with or traveled with, somebody that you've worked with or labored with, or somebody just been a friend to you, and you find that they not only depart from your company, but they betray you and try their best to sell you out. You talk about breaking your heart. But friend, when your heart is overwhelmed in that manner, there is a rock that is higher than what you are. I want to say, secondly, not only do I see a painful experience, but I see a prayer of encouragement. Unto God, I'm going to tell you what, friend, when you get in places that you feel like there's no help, there's prayer. And prayer will always work for you if you'll let it work. Our problem is we try to work at things out ourselves rather than letting prayer work it out for us. Now, somebody said, "Did David pray?" Sure he did. Look at verse 1. "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer." Hey, this was a very wise resolution. For had he ceased to pray, he would have become a victim of despair. It's no wonder that Jesus said in Luke 18:1 that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. When that heart is overwhelmed and you forget to pray or fail to pray, you mark it down, you're headed for despondency and despair. I have found in my life one of the greatest encouragements of my life is when I get with God and cry to God in prayer. God always has a listening ear. God always has a soft shoulder to cry upon. God will always succor us in a time of need. God will always lead us to that rock that is higher than we are. When that heart of ours is overwhelmed, if we'll pray and seek God's face, my friends, always. Amen to God.
Amen.
Now look at the... Charles Spurgeon said, there is an end to man when he makes an end to prayer. Ain't no wonder we're in the shape we're in today, huh? There is an end to man when there is an end to prayer.
Amen.
What I'm saying is there is no situation of life so great that through prayer God cannot turn it around and stir our hearts again, and as David did at Ziklag, encourage ourselves in the Lord. How do you think David encouraged himself in the Lord at Ziklag? When he came to Ziklag with his mighty men, and the city had been pillaged, and all and been spoiled, and the women and the children had been carried off, and those men that were mighty men of David wanted to stone him. The Bible said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. I guarantee you, gentlemen, he didn't sit down and play a game of checkers. He didn't run. He didn't turn on the television and watch the Wildcats play. He didn't turn on the tube and watch a football game or a baseball game. He didn't run down to the neighborhood bar and drink a beer. And he didn't go running around with the gang. He got alone with God in prayer and let God encourage his heart through the medium of praying. Right. Now notice the object of his prayer. He said, hear me when I cry. He wanted, he needed divine audience. He needed somebody to listen to him. I want y'all to look at it. I've preached this till I'm blue in the face. So many times where we fail now, while we have our problems, when we get in a situation that our heart is pined and pained, we want to try to turn to human help. And I'm going to tell you, friend, we want human audience. We want to sit down to Sister Sally Longtongue and tell everything we know to Sister Sally Longtongue so she'll make sure she tells it to everybody else in the church. And everybody else in the church, along with Sister Sally Longtongue, knows the problem that we're going through. And surely to God, if everybody in the church knows the problem we're going through, that we can find that some of them will surely to God help us. How are they going to help you when they need help?
Amen.
How can man, David said in the psalm prior to that, vain is the help of man. I'm telling you, you don't need the audience of people, friend, when your heart is overwhelmed. You need the all-listening ear of Almighty God when that heart is overwhelmed. Hey, men to God, I tell you, there ain't no man or woman or preacher or evangelist or nobody else can help you in those dilemmas. You need God. You need His ear. David said, hear me, Lord. Hear me, Lord. Hear me, Lord, when I cry. Hear me when I cry. Would you hear me? I need divine audience from God Almighty. God, help us. Huh? Now, I'm going to be honest. Some of you women in here are the world's worst at it. Huh? Every time you get a chigger or a mosquito bite, you think the best way to get over it is to sit down and tell some other woman in the church about it. They ain't going to help you. Chances are they got the same problem you got. I'm going to tell you what the truth of it is. Misery loves company, friend. That's the bottom line. Get miserable. Amen. And we love company, so we won't make everybody else miserable. God help us. David said, hear me, Lord, when I cry. When my heart is overwhelmed. He's praying to the Lord. He said, hear me when I cry, Lord. My heart is overwhelmed, so would you please lead me to the rock that is higher than I, where I can find divine help from Almighty God. Give me your ear, Lord. Huh? How do you think the Lord says, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not? He hears, friend. Somebody said, I can't see him. Neither can I, but I sure felt him in the preaching hour this morning. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I don't always see him, but I feel him. And I don't always feel him, but when I can't feel him, I believe I can see him. And whether I feel him or see him not, I know he's there. Because they said in the book, he'd never forsake me, never leave me. He needed divine audience. Notice, secondly, he needed divine consideration. He said, attend unto my prayer. Attend unto my prayer. Here, Lord, when I am, my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Here's what I want you to do, Lord. Attend unto my prayer. This is my need. Would you please take care of it for me? Oh, I'm glad that he can. Hallelujah to God. Would you consider this, Lord? Would you please consider? Would you consider what? Would you give me divine audience and consider what I am asking you to do for me? Let me ask some of you in here this. When was the last time you had a prayer answer? If I had to ask you right now to get out a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the last time God answered your prayer, what would it be? And when would it be? Whoa! I know some of you got a $2 diet rate, so I know you got a prayer answer. But you ought to smit in the ground 10 times. Now read that in your Bible and you'll find out what I'm talking about. One of the prophets went to the king, and I forget how many times they wanted to smite Israel, wanted to smite Syria, one of them, and the king smote it about 2 times, and the prophet said unto God, you ought to have smitten it 5 times. He said, 3, Brother Jason? And the prophet said, you ought to have smitten it 5 times. What's the matter with you? What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying we don't have because we don't ask, friend. If we'd ever get God's divine ear, and God consider our needs.
Amen.
A third thing, he wanted God's divine protection. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now the faith, not only the object of his prayer, but the faith of his prayer. And I'm trying to hurry, and I'll be done in just a couple of minutes if you just bear with me. The faith of his prayer, okay? He said, lead me to the rock. He felt incompetent. He felt incompetent to direct his own steps. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Are you starting to get what I'm saying? Here was David did not say, Lord, get out of my way. I know where the rock's at. I'll get there all right on my own. No, David said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He felt totally incompetent to direct his own steps, leading him to God Almighty. I tell you, friend, I get weary with people who've got the idea now that they can get by on their own and make it to God on their own and don't need the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit whatsoever. And they're so puffed up and proud. Amen to God. He felt so incompetent to direct his own steps and to choose his own path. Oh, I'll have things my way. I'll do it. I'll take care of this business. No, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You will make a mess out of things.
Amen. Amen.
Then he felt insufficient in his abilities. He said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He said, Lord, I'm in a problem that I can't handle. And he felt so insufficient in his own abilities. Our problem today is, friend, we've got the idea we can handle this job all by ourselves, and we can't do it.
Amen.
It takes God. Oh, I'll get out of this valley. I'll get over this hump. My joy will return. I'll get victory someday. Why wait?
Amen.
When there is a rock that extends from the depths to the heights that God will lead you to. And there you can overcome your fears and your doubts and your troubles and your heartache and your grief. And I guarantee you when you get on the top of that rock, which is a sign, my friend, of victory, you can shout it out and rejoice in what God has done for you. I'm going to say number 3, the personality of his prayer. He said, hear my cry. It was a personal thing. Hear my cry. Most men, I should say all men, I don't know whether all men do, but I'll say that, all men pray. All men pray. But this thing was personal. It was his own personal prayer. I said, what do you mean personal? Well, we ought to be personal enough we can tell God all about our sins. Brother Mark was working at the house the other night, maybe Friday night, and one of them little old boys, his turned over a little old flower stand of some kind of thing, a piece of cheap junk, what it was. And he said, that asked me when they went inside, said, did one of them boys turn that over? I said, I don't know, Brother Mark. Probably just fell. It just plumb wobbly and fell. He said, I don't like them boys to turn something like that over and not tell somebody they done it. I said, oh, it probably just fell. He said, no. He said, I bet they turned it over. He said, I bet they turned it over. He said, I try to teach them if they turn something over or do something wrong that they ought to tell me or their mother about it.
Right.
And I thought to myself, I said, that's pretty good. I wish adults would practice that.
Amen.
When we do something wrong, if we'd tell him about it, all of our sins. Or somebody said, now, Brother Hall, did them little boys get in trouble? They is headed for it.
Amen.
But when Mama come outside, Brother Mark said, or when one of the boys come outside, Mark said, did you turn that thing over? He said, yes, sir, I did. He said, why didn't you tell me you done that? He said, I went in the house and told Mrs. Hall. That saved his bacon. Did that not save his bacon, Brother Mark? It is a personal thing. It's not between us and the priest. It's between us and our great high priest. And we ought to tell him of our sins. And it would keep us out of a lot of trouble if we would tell him in a personal prayer about our sins. You don't have to confess your sin to me. I don't want to know what you've done. Some of these preachers get up and glorify sin, brag about it. All the sin of their past. I don't like to brag on all that junk. Huh? He set forth in order all of his troubles. When was the last time you just sat down and said, now, Lord, here's the situation. Bop, 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 there it is. Now, I'm overwhelmed. It may be money that's got me overwhelmed. It may be my children. It may be problems with my husband, my wife. I don't know what it is, but here's the problem. Right here, it started here. Here's another thing. Here's another thing. And set it in order before God. If a man covers his sins, he shall not prosper, but he whosoever confesseth and forsaketh his sins shall find mercy of God. You hear what I'm saying? Praise God, set some things in order. Most of us today are like that Pharisee. Lord, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that old publican over there. I fast 3 times a week. I pay tithes. I'm a pretty good sort of a fellow. I go to church every Sunday. And the truth of it is, our heart is about as black as a night. We're about, our thoughts are as wicked as the devil. And we're in so much trouble, we're just about buried in it and can't get out of it and ain't got enough sense to turn to God. Those little troubles that we seem to think are nothing, if they're not taken care of, will soon become a manhole, friend, or a pit that's been digged that we cannot find our way out of. And I believe it's so personal that we ought to recite our failures and stumblings along the path of life to God. Huh? Somebody said, I ain't never failed and stumbled. Liar, liar, pants is on fire, and your nose is longer than a telephone wire. It's Kentucky Tough. Then the last thing I want to call to your attention. Look at verse number 3. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. David's past recollection. Said, for thou hast been. David said, Lord, my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And Lord, I know you can lead me there because I have had past experiences in my life. There's been past experiences in my life. when you delivered me. Hey, experience, folks, is the nurse of faith. It'll nurse you along. Amen. From the past, we gather arguments for present confidence in the Lord. Keep in mind, I'm closing, keep in mind full realization of all God has done for us in our personal life history. I'm talking about past recollection. Look here. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. Here's the situation. I'm closing. Listen carefully. Here's the situation. In my life, Lord, I've been serving You X amount of years, but I have come to a place in my life that my heart is overwhelmed. I'm covered with trouble, grief, sorrow, and don't know where to turn to. Why don't you just turn around and look back? Let me ask you something. Did God turn you from your sin? Then if God turned you from your sin, you can argue that point. I don't mean argue with God, but that is a point of argument for you. That God turned you there, God will certainly comfort your heart up here. You understand what I'm saying? Those past experiences, my friend, is a nurse of faith. You ought to, if enough faith to tell you if God turned you back here and you're at a rock up here, your heart up here is overwhelmed, that God's not going to pick you up back here and lead you to this point and drop you along the way. We're not General Baptist. We're not Methodist, friend. We don't believe that nonsense that God will return us from our sin, carry us part of the way along in this Christian life, and then drop us along the way. No, sir, my friend. God's turned us in repentance. He'll bring us all every step of the way, all the way home. Remember how wondrously God has turned you. Watch how the Lord has developed your life. Has God developed your life in the past? Huh? If God has turned you and your life has been developing spiritually and He's brought you to a place and that heart is overwhelmed, He's not going to leave you there. You'll cry in prayer to God. Encourage yourself in prayer. God will lead you to the rock as high as you find solace. And remember how greatly He drew us into the shelter when the storm was coming. In recent storms or in past storms. Those recollections of the past are always encouraging for present time. God is when my heart is overwhelmed, He says, lead me to the rock. Let's stand together.